Good morning. Hey, my name is Josh, and I'm the teaching pastor here, and we are closing out our series in the book of Galatians, where we've been going verse by verse and unpacking the fuel of the Christian life, and that's grace. It's because grace is what kind of sets us free. It's grace that, you know, is the big difference between Christianity and all other belief systems. It's what empowers the Christian life, and that's what we're going to be kind of jumping into today. And the Apostle Paul, he addresses some things to the Christians during this time because, you know, there is this confusion going on with new believers at this time. And some were confusing this whole faith thing. They started to get it all wrong, and they went back to a religious type of approach to God, going back to trying to earn God's approval in their lives. And Paul's like, hey, you've got it all wrong. Okay, you don't have to earn God's love, man. It's already there, available to you, and you can receive it through faith by this thing called grace. And you don't have to, you know, live this Christian life out of duty. Okay, it's not focused on what you do or what you don't do. You don't have to work for God's approval, because that's not the true gospel. Because the true gospel doesn't focus on what we've done, but it does focus on what Jesus did. We don't have to earn God's love. Okay, we receive God's love, and it's not about external duty. It actually grows out of internal desire. And I don't have to live this life cuffed to a bunch of rules. I can actually live in freedom through Christ. And sadly, a lot of people kind of get it mixed up. And sometimes, you know, we tend to complicate the message of Jesus. And that can leave us feeling stuck, right? Stuck to a religion. Stuck to like a religious checklist, and we totally miss the life-giving relationship that we were always meant to experience with God. And that's kind of, you know, what we're talking about today. We're talking about living in relationship with God. And there are different brands of Christianity out there. One's, you know, all about rules. And you have to be good, and you have to try to get as close to perfection as possible, and you do things out of obligation, or you feel bad, right? Or then there's another brand of Christianity that we identify with around here, where we rest in God's grace, and we serve, and we give, and we live from a place that is an outpouring of the transformation that's coming from within. And God's changed something inside of us. And our relationship with God is authentic, right? But it's not perfect. It's refreshing. It's alive. It's just how we roll around here. And God, you know, he never intended to be your religion. He actually always intended and desires to be in relationship with you. And he didn't want just to be our God. He wants to be your Father. And that's the intimate relationship God wants with us, to be part of his family. And the Apostle Paul, he talks about this type of relationship that we can have with God. And he uses a real specific word in Galatians. He uses the word sonship. And God, you know, he becomes our Father, and we become his sons and daughters. And I want to kind of open us up this morning and talk about the difference between a slave and a son, because there is a huge difference. And I believe sometimes people of faith get this Christian life all mixed up, right? And we can kind of view our relationship with God as if we are enslaved to a dictator, when in actuality, we are sons and daughters to a heavenly Father. And just as a side note, man, if you know the Bible, you've probably read the Apostle Paul, he called himself a bond servant or a bond slave to Christ, right? And you're like, man, Josh, that's kind of contradictory, right, to what you're saying. But what that meant is not what you think it means, right? He's basically saying, Lord, you know, you've given your life for me. So in turn, I'm giving my devotion to you. I am devoted to you. I'm so devoted to you and to your mission that I'm deciding to put my interests aside. I'm putting my agenda aside to press into yours. God, I am all yours. And you might have heard it maybe said around, said this way here at Center Church. Hey, I'm all in. It's a posture of faith that says, hey, God, I'm all yours. I'm giving myself to you. I'm all in. And we're going to be talking about the difference between slaves and sons this morning. We're going to start off in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. This is what it says. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. See, we are called sons, and we are brought into the family of God. And one of the most intimate relationships that someone could ever have is to be part of a family, to be a son or daughter of God. And ladies, hey, don't get mad or offended by how scripture kind of puts it, right? Because us guys, I want you to know, we're also called the bride of Christ, okay? So it's kind of a give and take there. But the point is, we are brought into God's family. Okay, we're going to continue in Galatians chapter 4, okay, starting in verse 4. It says this, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." It's saying God, okay, sent Jesus to be born on this earth, okay, not only as God, but also as man, and he did that for a reason, okay, that we might be brought into God's family. Okay, when we were born into this world, okay, we were born with this sin nature. We talked about it in weeks past. We were born separated from God, but he made a way for us to enter into relationship with God, to be adopted into sonship, to be adopted, okay, into God's family. Okay, it continues. This is what it says. "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." See, something special happens in our hearts. Something transformative takes place when we cross that line of faith and invite Jesus into our lives. The Spirit of God indwells in us, okay, is what the Bible says, at the center of our being. And that relationship we step into with God is very intimate. Okay, this is how sentimental God is. Okay, let me explain. It says the Spirit cries out, Abba. Okay, and we're not talking about the dancing queen, Abba, okay? The word Abba in this verse, the connotation has the same meaning as a child calling out to his father as daddy. Okay, for some of those who have kids, it's like, daddy, I hurt my knee. Can you help me? Or daddy, I need help tying my shoes. It's very childlike and very intimate. And that's the relationship we step into with God as his child. Okay, does that make sense? And at the end, this is what it says. "So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Okay, we used to be slaves to sin, slaves to our passions and to our desires and to the things that are opposite of God. But when we invite Christ into the center of our lives, the Bible says we are no longer slaves, but we are children of God. We are adopted into his family. You and me, we inherit everything that belongs to God. And I don't know about you, but that's a good deal, man. And sometimes, you know, instead of seeing ourselves as God's sons and daughters, I think we get this thought in our minds that we are God's slaves and he is controlling us with a heavy hand of punishment. But I want you to know it is not that way. And God sees you as a child that he handles with love, a child that he handles with care. And sometimes, yes, there are stern moments, right? There are teachable moments. But for the parent, you know, you understand probably more than everybody that there's an understanding of love there, and you're doing it for that child's good. And I want you to know the difference between the two, right? Between a slave and a son. And I want you to understand that having a relationship with Christ doesn't mean you stop living. It doesn't mean my life is over. It means we start living in freedom, living the way that God designed. And maybe some of us, man, we've been going to church for a long time, right? And all you know is kind of this slave mentality, like, man, God's this dictator. He's this mean God that I have to appease. I have to make him happy. It's kind of like Genie from Aladdin, right? If you know that movie, the Disney movie, Aladdin, you know, Genie, he smiles. You know, he dances, he sings, he performs, and throughout the movie, you realize actually how powerful Genie really is. He can do all types of tricks, right? He can make magic. But at the end of the day, Genie, he's a slave. He has to go back into the lamp. And his one desire is to be set free. And by the end of the movie, okay, Aladdin takes his last wish, okay, spoiler alert, and he wishes for Genie's freedom. And you kind of see a Genie's face, he lights up, because that's the one thing that he's been longing for. See, the moral of the story is, you don't have to wait years to be free. You don't have to wait for someone to wish for your freedom. You can make that choice yourself, but sadly, there are lots of people who stay stuck. Okay, they stay stuck in religion. They stuck going their whole lives, kind of putting up a smile. They're performing, they're kind of doing religion, but at the end of the day, they just want to be free. Don't wait till the end of the movie. You can be free today. And here's what being a slave versus a son looks like. I want to write this down. Number one, the slave has a master. The slave has a master. Okay, and the master is always mad, right? The master is always demanding something from us. And when you approach the master, you have to, you know, fall on your face. You're always thinking, man, I hope I'm making the master happy. I hope I'm pleasing the master. I hope I did it right, because if not, man, I'm going to be punished. The master's going to be mad. And it's almost like we have to crawl our way to the master just to appease him. You know, there are religions out there where its followers physically crawl on their hands and feet, even some of them beating themselves and hurt themselves in order to appease their God. Let me show you a picture. Go ahead and take a look at this. And they have this mindset that says, man, if I get as low as I can, if I can grovel to the point where I'm even physically bleeding or hurting for my cause, then God will be happy with me. And that, you know, it kind of equates to this great exchange for the wrong that I've done. And the slave has a master. But I also want us to see that the son has a father. The son has a father. See, there's a family relationship there. You're not graveling in fear. Okay, you're not performing for acceptance. You're not crawling for credit. You're not a slave. You are a son and daughter of the king. Man, you are royalty because God is royalty. You're actually invited to the table because God is your father. He's not this malnourished, you know what I'm saying, like sad Jesus you might have seen in paintings, right, at the swap meet. Okay, trust me, I know, I live next to the swap meet, okay? You ever see pictures or statues of Jesus at the swap meet? He always looks sad. He's always malnourished, you know, he's throwing up Jerusalem gang signs, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know what that is. And some people even think, they have this picture of Jesus that he's like this faceless, you know, being sitting on a huge throne, right? And he's kind of waiting in heaven to lightning bolt you when you mess up. You know, I want you to know that our God is actually just the opposite. The psalmist says that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And we got to see who God really is. We got to get the right view, the right picture of him, because the way that we view God will determine how we approach him. And the way we do it around here isn't crawling on our hands and knees to the point of bleeding. The way we do it around here is arms wide open and heart open to a God who invites me into his family. And the way you think that he sees you will determine how you identify with him. Let me ask you a question. Are you a slave to a master, or are you a son to a father? See, this is what Romans says. Chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, it says, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Okay, we need to see God as dad. We have to see him for who he really is, because it changes our relationship with him. Let me ask you a question. What do you call God? Okay, are you close enough to God where you don't have to pull all the fluff, like, "Dear God and Heavenly Father, God in heaven"? Like, are you close enough where you can just call him by who he is? Because let me say this, you can tell your relationship with someone by what they call you or what you call them, okay? Okay, I haven't been a pastor for a long time, okay? I'm kind of new to the game, and, you know, I'm not used to people calling me pastor. And it even makes me feel a little uncomfortable sometimes, okay? That's not a bad thing, it's just I'm not used to it, okay? And, you know, when I get a call from someone that I don't know, and they know that I'm in ministry, sometimes they address me as Pastor Joshua. Okay, it's very formal. And if you know me well, all right, I'll usually respond with something like, "Yo, what's up, dude?" Right? That's kind of a normal conversation with me. And if you know me even on some level, you'll call me Josh. Okay, if you know me, probably even a little bit more than that, you might call me Jay Posk, okay, Josh Posko, or Jay. Okay, in high school, my nickname on the basketball team was Jigglypuff. Okay, don't ask me why, it's probably pretty obvious, but you know, it still haunts me out to, it still haunts me today, but you know, shout out to my best friends, y'all ruined my life. But you know, they call you certain things because we have this relationship. Okay, does that make sense? And we ask God, God, what do you want me to call you? And we use all types of fluffy words, and God's like, hey, I don't care, just call me. Just spend some time with me. You can call me Father, you can call me Dad, you can call me Lord. It doesn't matter, just call. Does that make sense? We're family. I want to spend time with you. I want a relationship with you. And a slave has a master, but the son has a father. Here's another one. The slave is an employee. The slave is an employee. When you see yourself as an employee for God, you're kind of clocking in for him, right? It might not be in your heart. And that'll cause you to kind of do things halfway, kind of half-hearted, right? Half generous. It's a, well, I got to clock into work today. You know, kind of sucks. I wish I was somewhere else, but you know, I got to clock in for the kingdom, right? I wish I can call in sick. Like, God, I'm sorry. I can't come in today. And it's a drag, right? You're kind of tied down to obligation, and the slave is an employee. But I want you to see this. The son is an heir. The son is an heir. You know, I've shared this before, but my parents, man, they are great preppers, all right? And they are ready for the best and worst. If they could be on that show, Doomsday Preppers, man, they'd win. Okay, considering if a zombie apocalypse happened, they'd be surviving off of boxes of Spam and 50-pound bags of rice, okay? But they'll survive. And when this pandemic hit, man, they weren't waiting in line for toilet paper and water, man. They were like, where to rice and Spam at, okay? We need the essentials, but all jokes aside, they're very just really mindful people, and they prepare really well. And we've had, you know, open and uncomfortable conversations about, hey, if anything ever happens, this becomes yours, right? And we've kind of sat down with them, and you know, they say everything we worked for, I want you to know that we are giving over to you and your sister, and we kind of inherit some pretty amazing things because we're part of this family. And that's what's awesome about being in the family of God, is that we inherit the most amazing gift that we could ever get, and that's eternal life. That's the fact that my sins are forgiven and the bill of my sin is being paid in full. I have a home in heaven. See, I don't work for God, I work with him. Okay, we are on the same team. I'm an owner with God. I become an heir to what is his. I'm a part of God's family. And this is what Romans says. In Romans chapter 8, it says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. See, I'm not God's employee. I'm his child. I don't have to clock in for the kingdom, and I'm excited about living for God. It's a joy to serve him. There's something in me that changes, man. My desires change. It changes from I got to I get to. Man, I get to do this. And sometimes, you know, I know sometimes we're like, man, I gotta clock in today. I gotta not do bad stuff. I gotta serve at that restore thingy, man. I wish I could just call in sick, right? And it changes from, man, I got to, man, I get to do this. I get to serve the people who Jesus loves. I get to share the hope that Jesus gives because that's what happened to me. God is working in me, and now it changes to I want to. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says this, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And if you know the culture of our church, man, we never should on anyone here, okay? You'll never hear me say, well, you should do this, okay? It's not in our DNA. It's not how we operate. And we do that intentionally because we want this Christian life to be an outpouring from the abundance of our hearts. And let me kind of unpack this here a little bit. Here's the next one. The slave is driven by duty. Okay, the slave is driven by duty. Okay, I have to do it. Okay, and you get all cranky because you don't really want to. And one of our leaders, man, they might come along and say, hey, we've got this awesome restore project coming. And, you know, those who get it are like, hey, yes, you know, count me in. You know, I'm excited. You know, I can't wait till we do that. But when it's driven by duty, okay, you're like, again? Man, I thought we served those kids already. Man, didn't we give them shoes or something? I thought we already, dot, dot, dot. And it's driven by duty. But see this, the son is driven by devotion. The son is driven by devotion. Okay, God, it says, God, I just love you so much. There's a joy to serve you, to be able to help somebody else find the hope and the peace and the love that I found because of you, man. It is an honor to serve you, Lord. I'm all yours. I'm all in. And you're saying like, hey, you know, what do we got next? Because I want to be there. This Jesus message is just way too important to let sit. We got to love people like Jesus did, man. We got to go. And the son is driven by devotion. You know, you want to serve. You want to give of your talents. You want to give of your passions for God to use. You are devoted to a purpose that is greater than yourself, man, and that's awesome. And I want us to actually realize something else is this, that the spirit in which we serve God is actually more important than the thing we do in serving God. Because sometimes, you know, we do a lot of stuff. Right? We can, you know, be trying to do so much that we get distracted from the why we do it. Let me explain. And there's a story in Luke about two sisters, right, who love Jesus, okay? Mary and Martha. They both love God. They wanted to serve Jesus. They were devoted to him. But something interesting happens that should cause us to pause and consider. It's in Luke 10. This is what it says. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. See, Jesus comes into town. Martha's like, hey, Jesus, I want to invite you in. Hey, we love you. We believe in what you're doing. Come on over. And Luke continues, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And Jesus comes in. I think it's appropriate to say, man, Jesus is in the house, right? It's a party now. And Mary, Martha's sister, begins to sit at Jesus' feet and just listen to his stories and just kind of hang with him, listening to what he has to say. Then it says, okay, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha's like, Lord, will you tell this lazy sister of mine to come and help me? Don't you see that I'm doing all this stuff? I'm doing it by myself. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do what's right. And it's interesting how Jesus responds. This is what he says. He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. See, Jesus is like, Martha, number one, relax, okay? Because you're getting all worked up about a bunch of stuff and you need to chill. Okay, number two, we don't need all that. Actually, there's only one thing that you need, okay? And your sister chose that thing. The Bible actually uses the words, Mary chose what is better. See, Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. She chose devotion. And so many times, man, we're like Martha. Man, we're busy for the Lord. Hey, I gotta, you know, we gotta open up the church. Hey, we gotta get going. We gotta do a bunch of stuff. And, you know, we can't be the last church to open up, man. We're missing out on God's plan. We gotta get it done for the Lord. And God's like, whoa, hold up, man. Hey, take a chill pill, Martha, okay? The thing that you actually need right now is to sit at my feet, to hang with me, to spend time with me, to be in relationship with me, to learn from my words. Hey, all that extra stuff is gonna come. Just be with me right now. And the slave is driven by duty. Hey, I gotta do this for the master. When the son is driven by devotion, I am this way because of my heavenly Father that is so amazing. And let me say this. Hey, there's nothing wrong with desiring to serve God with zeal. But don't let that zeal to do for Jesus distract you from your zeal to be with Jesus. Okay, can I preach a little today? Can we just kind of cut loose here for a second? That's the culture around here. That's the heartbeat of Center Church. The motivation we have is devotion to God. It's an outpouring from the abundance from our hearts. It's living in authentic relationship with God. Okay, I'm not a slave, I'm a son. I'm not an employee, I'm an heir. A duty doesn't drive me, devotion does. So how do we do it? How can we live an authentic Christian life? How can I truly be free? Because hey, guess what? I don't have to wait until the end of the story. I don't have to wait for someone to wish for my freedom. I don't have to be enslaved to religion. I can be free today. And it starts really with knowing who God really is. In Galatians chapter 4, this is what it says. In verse number 8, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God's. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? And that's where the Apostle Paul kind of corrects the Galatian church, remember? Like, why are you going back to this religious approach to God? Why are you going back to trying to earn God's approval in your life? Man, there is no freedom in that. Okay, don't just do religion. Don't just attend church. Don't just kind of check off 1, 2, 3 from your religious checklist. Man, there is so much more to Jesus. And I want you to hear the heart of this message, man. I want you to hear the big idea, the reason why we do what we do, the purpose of Center Church, the reason why this faith community was even launched, so that ordinary people just like you and me could have the opportunity to really know God. That's why this place was created, so that we could experience an authentic encounter with the true God, the God whose love already exists, the God who's full of grace and truth, the God who meets me right where I am and he offers me a better way to navigate this life. Would you allow me just for the next few moments to help you really know God? To really know who the true God is. I want to share some thoughts with you on knowing the true God, the God of the Bible. And here's some practical steps for us. Here's the first one, and it's the way that we see him, okay? I see God as a father. I see God as a father. And we need to start with our eyes. We gotta see God for who he really is. He is not a dictator master. He is a father. He's loving. He protects, he's gentle. God is crazy about you. See, your view of God will determine your relationship with him. And some of us, you know, we might have this distorted view of God the Father because maybe our earthly father, you know, they treated us wrong. They hurt you, maybe they left you, maybe they even abused you. And to think that there is a dad out there who really loves you unconditionally without, you know, looking for anything in return, to think that really exists might be hard for you. And if that's you, I want you to know that no one should ever go through that, okay? And your earthly dad is human just like you and me, who makes mistakes just like you and me. But the wonderful thing is your heavenly father is different, and he's opposite of that. And he's not like the earthly dad who may have mistreated you. He wants what's best for you. He desires to see you thrive and live the life you're always meant to live. He wants you to be free. He actually lavishes you with gifts and he calls them good. This is what Matthew chapter 7 says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? See, Jesus was teaching this revolutionary truth that God isn't, you know, this mad lightning bolt hurling God that you probably always thought he was, okay? He's actually a father who wants to give you good things, okay? He wants what's best for you. He's giving us good gifts. He is a good, good father. He's a good father. Here's the second one. Approach God through relationship, not rules. Approach God through relationship, not rules. See, our approach to God is so critical. And, you know, religion has a way, right, of muddying the waters of faith and, you know, what it really means to know God. And the true God of the Bible isn't looking, you know, for little robots, okay, to do his work. He isn't looking to enslave people and then punish them when they're not listening. He's looking for people to be in relationship with. He doesn't just want to be your God. Remember, he wants to be your Father. And that's why our approach is so critical. It's because really knowing and following God authentically isn't, you know, following a set of rules. It's actually crossing that line of faith and coming into relationship with Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 39 says this, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." If your religion missed the relationship part, I want you to know you missed the whole thing, because that's the main thing, relationship. And we gotta, you know, keep the main thing, the main thing. It's not rules, it's relationship with God. Okay, here's number three. Okay, give God my whole heart. Give God my whole heart. Okay, when we do it, we gotta go all in. Okay, because when you go 90% in, man, it's just not the same. It's not as fun, and you won't truly experience all that God has for you. You know, as many of you know, I was a student pastor here for 2 years until kind of the transition of where we are today. And, you know, one of my favorite parts of the year was taking our teens to summer camp. And one of the last camps that we went to was in the San Bernardino Mountains. And there was a lot to do, right? There's lots of activities. And one of the activities was this thing called the big or the giant swing. I mean, like, you know, you had to buckle yourself in, wear a harness, you know, wear like a special helmet, sign a waiver type big swing, okay? And once you buckle in, there's this machine that kind of pulls you up to the treetops. Okay, and then you kind of pull this ripcord, and from there, kind of you're in Jesus' hands, right? Just like, you know, praise God, I hope we're safe. And our teens, they would come up to me like, "Hey, Josh, man, we gotta do that. That looks super fun. You know, you gotta come with us." And I like our teens, you know what I'm saying? But I enjoy living more, okay? And I'm the type of guy who, you know, I love the feeling of the stable ground beneath me, okay? And just to be honest, man, I was kind of put it off. I was like giving them a lame reason, like, "Hey, man, I gotta go pray, you know, with somebody because they need some prayer." And of course, they knew I was lying. Okay, I was scared, or I was kind of putting it off as long as I could. But then this, you know, wonderful wife of mine, right, who talks me into the amazing, you know, amazing things in life, was like, "Hey, babe, you gotta go. Okay, they're counting on you, and you're missing out. Okay, when's the next time you're gonna do this?" I was like, "Never." Okay, just kidding. I was like, "You know, you're right. I should go." And I strapped in. Okay, I went on to the giant swing with our students, and to tell you the truth, I screamed like the man baby that I am. Okay, needless to say, they enjoyed my torture there in the air, and I thought maybe you would too. So go ahead and take a look at this. Guess what? That ended up being one of my favorite memories that summer. And I never regretted it. And it all happened because I decided to go all in. Hey, it was scary, yes. Okay, it was nerve-wracking, yes. I had to put my complete trust in someone else, yes. But it became one of my best decisions that I made that whole summer. And God is looking for you to go all in with him today. And he doesn't just want part of you, man. He wants all of you. He desires to have your whole heart. He wants not just 90% of it. He wants 100% of it, man. It's not just the same, because you won't truly experience that all God has for you. And it might seem scary. Okay, it might feel nerve-wracking. You're like, "Hey, I'm kind of new to this whole stepping out in faith thing." But when you surrender, okay, the control of your personal agenda, When you surrender that, you kind of put that aside to press into God's agenda. You're saying, Father, I am all in. I am all yours. And I'm giving you not just part of me. I'm giving you all of me. And I want you to know that is the single best decision that you could ever make. And I can promise you, you'll never regret it. Jeremiah 29 says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Let me ask you a question. Are you a slave to a master? Or are you a son and daughter to a father? Okay, how do you see God? Do you see him as dad? Or do you see him as a mean dictator that you got to work hard to try and please? Are you approaching him through relationship or rules? Okay, have you given him your whole heart? And this is the bottom line. This is kind of the big idea today. Relationship changes everything. Relationship changes everything. And I don't know how this whole series spoke to you, but maybe you need to take some next steps today. And one of the things that we value as a church is that we believe in being a place where people are always taking their next step with God. And this is a place where redos are welcome, a place of grace. And we thrive on being a safe spot where anyone can take their next step with Jesus. And I don't know what yours is, okay? I don't know what that looks like for you, but maybe you need to start with saying, God, I'm giving you my whole heart. God, I'm deciding to go all in with you today. And maybe you just need a fresh start. Maybe you've made that decision before and you just need a redo. That's okay. If that's you, I want to encourage you right where you are in your living room or wherever, you know, you're kind of watching this from, to take your next step and to pray with me. Hey, let's do it together. Would you allow me to lead you in praying this? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for loving me with your son. Thank you for being my father. Thank you for wanting to be in relationship with me. Forgive me now for going my own way. Today, I invite you to come to my life and change me. Give me both the desire and the power to live for you. Today, I give my life to you, everything, my whole heart, in your name. Amen.